the Old Testament. I love the lives of men, and we study, and there's so much to it, so many dynamics. And it's good to look. Angela got sister, our sisters with us, and you all like filled up a pew right there. That looks good. So, Scott, I don't know. You look like you might be outnumbered today, but we definitely want to continue to remember them in our prayers. Anybody, if you've ever read the life of Joseph, and surely you have, if you've read the book of Genesis, you should stand in awe of this individual. He would be an individual that our children should know is a hero. We list many people as heroes today, sports figures, sometimes war heroes. But his life was a life that was given that others may benefit and prosper from. He sacrificed his life in many ways and is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning I want to look at just a couple of verses because I'm going to try to use a broad stroke as we cover then basically just overview of his life as a broad stroke this morning. Then we'll start looking at the details and take some finer strokes, we might say, in the next few weeks as we study the life of Joseph. And so pray for me and pray that this will be a blessing to the church and that also our own lives, that we'll understand how we can walk with God in adverse times, maybe understand that God is still yet sovereign, God is still yet in control. I think when we have a firm grasp on the fact that God is in control, it takes all the bitter things and helps us to get through it because He still is. Listen, nothing's got out of His hands yet, and we have to accept that. Genesis 45, and I'll back up a little bit, but I think this little bit of verse I'm going to read sums up a lot about Joseph. Genesis 45, the Bible says in verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. What's happened at this point in time, Joseph is getting ready to reveal himself to his brothers that had sold him as a slave many, many years ago. And through providence, he had became the prime minister, basically, of all Egypt. He became to a place of affluence and power. And here he has his brethren standing before him. He looks like an Egyptian. They're fearful for what has transpired in just the past few days and fearful of Joseph. And the Bible says here that then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried and says, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Bible says the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. I believe years of pent-up emotions was poured out here. And Joseph said unto the brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves. What kind of character is that right there? He is a man of greater character than Grant Hardwick. He says, don't be grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did not send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. He realized that God was involved with this all along. That God knew what He was doing, even in the darkest times of Joseph's life. He realized God was trying to serve the line, the lineage of Jacob. And so he said, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And surely he did that. And as you'll find that many years later, things have been resolved, and there comes a time that Jacob dies. His brothers are fearful and thinking that now that their father's gone, that Joseph is going to pour out his wrath upon his brethren. And they come again humbly apologizing. And Joseph tells him in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, and verse number 19, Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for Joseph's life. And God, I'm going to try to sum up just in one just great look today in a panoramic fashion, in a hurried speed of his life, that we might draw some principles from it to understand that you're still yet God, you're still yet in control in spite of all our heartaches, our setbacks, our griefs. You're still yet the one on the throne, and you have a master plan, a master design. And even though when it doesn't make sense to us at the moment, it will be weaved in such a way it'll be for our good and your glory. We thank you for this opportunity to stand here as we begin this series in the life of Joseph. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The life of Joseph is probably one of the most fascinating and dramatic stories in all the Bible. Some people said it's probably one of the greatest literary works of a short story in history. Now, that sounds good, but the truth of the matter, Joseph, his life is not fictitious. His life is the life of a real individual that lived. And I want to say to you, it probably is one of the greatest short stories you'll ever read. All the elements of a great story is there. As you think about it, you study his life. There is youth, there's ambition, there's beauty, there's temptations, there's jealousy, there's hatred, there's suffering, there's forgiveness, there's faith and triumph. All those things are filled within just a few chapters in the book of Genesis as you read the Word of God. Now, Joseph, as you study, what happens is that he is the beloved of his father. The beloved of his father. He was born to Rachel, who, if you remember, when Jacob, as you study the Scriptures, he worked 7 years for Rachel, did he not, from that crook Laban? And he was going to marry his daughter. And the Bible tells us that what happened was the night of his wedding, that he went in, consummated the marriage. When he took back the veil, perhaps that next morning, I don't really understand this. But what happens was it wasn't her, but it was her sister. And the Bible says, makes it kind of clear, that she wasn't as attractive, you might say, as Rachel. So, the Bible tells us, there's some things that happened with this. He married Leah, he had to work 7 more years for Rachel. The Bible said it seemed like a short time because he loved her greatly. Now, that's interesting, but there's a lot of dynamics to take place. We'll talk about that tonight. But he starts having children with Leah, and then he has children. Finally, eventually, he has Joseph and Benjamin with Rachel. And the result of this, there's a lot of dynamics within this, and his brothers that he had with Leah and his brothers he had with his handmaidens, they despised Joseph because Joseph was a man of integrity, a man of character, even at an early age. But also his father loved Joseph, and the Scriptures even tells us that, more than he did his other brothers. Now, understanding this and the background, what happens, one day Joseph is sent by his father to check upon his brothers. And they look and said, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and tell our father that a wild animal devoured him. And one of the brothers protested and said, we can't do that. And make a long story short, they put him in a pit. And when some traitors come by, they took Joseph out of the pit, sold it to the traitors. The traitors took their brother, get this, and sold him to an Egyptian by the name of Potiphar. And when Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, man, he succeeded in many ways, was a success there, but eventually he lands up in prison by a false accusation. From the false accusation, he stays in prison sometime, and it seems like he has upward mobility because in prison he gets promoted to places of prestige, with even in the prison, running the prison. And what happens there, he interprets some dreams for a couple fellows, a baker and a butler, and they forget him when they go back to Pharaoh. All through his life, I want to tell you, it's pretty melancholy up to that point. Pretty discouraging. You study, his mother died at a young age. He had all these family dynamics. I mean, everything is pretty horrific. But there come a day that God brought him out of prison by providence to stand before Pharaoh and get some answers. Pharaoh was promoted. We see the life of Joseph is absolutely amazing. Joseph illustrates the principles of faith. There's a long list of those that had principles of faith in Scripture. And I want you to stay with me. Basically, this morning you're getting the introduction, but there was Adam. He walked with God. There was Abel, who offered a more sacrifice to God by faith. There was Enoch, who walked so close to God that one day God just took him straight to heaven. You'll find that there was Noah, who obeyed God by faith to the
saving of his household, the Bible tells us, that you'll find that there was Abraham. He trusted God in spite of the obstacles and followed God by faith. And then you have Isaac, who submitted to the Lord and to his father by faith. And you go from Isaac. Isaac had a son by the name of Jacob. And Jacob had to learn to follow God. And it took many years because Jacob was like many of us. He was stubborn, rebellious, wanted to do things his way. But he eventually learns those lessons, and he also has a son by the name of Joseph. And Joseph is an illustration of faith in this, that there's success in the life of faith if you'll follow God. Now, I'm going to say to you, every one of you, how many here want to be a success? I want to be a success. Maybe not as the world says. They wouldn't tell me to raise your hand, some of you. I guess you know, you want to be, what we say this morning in Sunday school, remain humble, strive to be average. And so, That was what our thought this morning in Sunday school. Anyway, God desires us to be average. God wants us to be exceptional. Whatever we are in life, God wants us to be exceptional. It doesn't mean rich necessarily, but He wants us to be exceptional. When people think of us, they think of someone that's above and beyond. And Joseph was someone that was above and beyond because of his life of faith. He was victorious and triumphant in every turn and every challenge of his life. Every turn of Joseph's life. He captures our heart, it's been said, by the romance of his character. And I think that describes Joseph well. About five things I want to tell you about Joseph this morning by way of introduction. Number one, Joseph's life was pivotal. Pivotal. You say, what do you mean by pivotal? You see, it's critical to the narrative of the Old Testament. If you're going to understand the link between Genesis and Exodus, you've got to understand the life of Joseph, because if you don't, it'll not make sense. Because here you have God choosing Abraham and his descendants and blessing them, multiplying them with cattle, sheep, and money, and they're great warriors. It's amazing how God blessed them at every turn and of their life. And then you see them as slaves in Egypt. You'll not understand it unless you understand the life of Joseph. You see, it's a link that the Israel, it goes from a family to becoming a nation. By the way, Jacob had his name changed once he finally figured out how to walk with God. His name was Israel. Israel become more than a family, it become a nation between the link of Joseph, we might say. The events, he was sold and he ends up in Egypt, becomes a power there. There's a famine that comes throughout all the land. His brothers have sold him to slavery, and here's what you see. Eventually his own brothers come to Egypt to seek refuge and to seek food that they might not die in the famine. And so what happens eventually? Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. In Genesis 46, you'll find that Jacob moves his entire family into Egypt. But when they come, the Bible tells us there's about 70 people in his family. By the time you get to Exodus chapter 1 and 2, you'll find there's about 2 million people that are descendants of Joseph's family and Jacob's family there. What transpired? I tell you what, there was a period of time for about 430 years, and you see them in Egypt. Now, you say, what happened there? Well, I want you to understand that there's some things that definitely transpired in that period of time. Look in Exodus chapter number 1, verse number 8. The Bible says that there rose up a new king over Egypt that knew not Joseph. I want you to understand his life's pivotal. Are you with me? Joseph's life was what? It was pivotal. There come a point in time after about several years, I don't know, Joseph died, and there come a king in Egypt, and he said, I don't remember Joseph. I don't remember who he was. I don't remember what he done for us. He only saved the nation. Amen. He spared the nation from famine, and because he stored up food, he made Egypt the wealthiest nation in the world. That's what Joseph did, that Hebrew did. But he didn't remember it. You know what? Lots of times we have short memories. We better remember the past. Amen. We better be appreciative of the older generation and what they done too, by the way. Amen. That's good preaching. And so what happened was he forgot who Joseph was. And so he said, they're going to become a mighty nation. They're going to get some mighty nation within a nation that if they get mad at us, they'll just conquer us. And so we've got to make their life difficult. So they put out taskmasters, made them slaves, made their life difficult. And they kept growing in number. They kept prospering physically as a people and intellectually and just on down the line. So eventually they said, let's have all the males killed. And you know what this leads up to? It leads up to the birth of an individual by the name of Moses. That's how you got there. That's how you got Moses coming back to redeem his people out of Egypt. It was because of the link from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph made the transition from being a people blessed of God to being slaves. Unless you understand that, you'll never understand how pivotal the life of Joseph is and how pivotal he is in the Scripture as well. Let me move on to the second thing about Joseph's life. It's providential. Heard a story about President Roosevelt. A madman tried to kill him. President Roosevelt complained all the time. He carried his glasses in a metal case, and he said it's too heavy. I guess it drug his coat down or his shirt pocket down. But when the madman shot, guess what he hit? He hit that cumbersome metal case that carried his glasses in. They said it saved his life. Saved his life. You see, and some people say, man, that was lucky, and all that was providence, right? Providence. God watching out. Listen, you better. A lot of times we say a lot of things by accident. We better understand that God is still God, that's in control. Joseph's life was very providential. You think about what he went through. Brothers betrayed him, sold. He lived in the house of Potiphar, was a great success there. Potiphar's wife wanted to have an inappropriate relationship with him, and she lied about him. And all these many times, Joseph probably hated his situation. But in the darkest events of Joseph's life, God was just turning them into stepping stones. And why was God doing this? I'll tell you why He was doing this. He was doing this to bring Joseph right into a position of power. Even when Joseph didn't understand what was happening, God knew what He was doing. I want to say to you this morning, you may not understand what's happening in your life, but God knows what He's doing. And so, you'll find that as you just continue to read this, God understood that He was bringing him into a position that he might be able to save his family, save Egypt, and in essence become the Savior of the world. You see, Joseph, understanding that God was in control. And what did he say? You might have meant it for good in Genesis 50:20. You might have meant it to bring me harm, but God meant it for good. You see, he understood God was a God of providence in his life. He could look back and say, God, you're the one in control. So not only was Joseph's life pivotal, but Joseph's life was a life of providence. Do you understand that? Now move on to number three. I want you to see this. Joseph's life was prosperous as well. The Bible tells us Joseph was a dreamer. You find a lot of people are dreamers. People don't like them. They say they've got too much ambition or this, that, and the other. There's about five dreams that's recorded Joseph. That's important. He had two dreams himself where basically his family come down and they bowed down and worshipped him. They didn't like him. And he probably in hindsight, should have kept that dream to himself, okay? And I don't think there was any ill will. He just said, this is a vision. This is the dream that I had. And by the way, it was from God. And so the Bible tells us, not only that, there were two dreams that are pivotal to him that he had that he interpreted in prison and one that Pharaoh had. You see, I want you to understand that Joseph was an individual that dreamed that one day God was going to make something out of him. He believed that. Now I want you to see this. Look in Genesis chapter 39. Turn over there with me. I love this account because this explains a lot about Joseph. Everywhere Joseph went, he was a success. And so he was prosperous in everything he did. Genesis 39. See this. I'll get there eventually myself. The Bible tells us that Joseph was brought down to Egypt, verse 1. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him to the hands of the Ishmaelites, bought him from the Ishmaelites, and which had brought him down hither. Now notice what the Bible says. The Lord was with Joseph. Wait a minute. Joseph was just sold as a slave, and he's taken away from his family, and you're saying that the Lord was with Joseph in all this. And Potiphar took notice in verse number 4 because Joseph found grace in his sight, Potiphar, his owner's sight, who was a rich and powerful man. And he served him. And notice what he did. He made him overseer of his house and all they put in his hand. So he said, listen, there's something excellent about Joseph. There's excellence about Joseph. I'm going to put him in the power of my household, a slave. And you'll find that Potiphar had many things coming in, going out. He didn't know anything about that. All he knew was he put it in the charge of Joseph. And he was blessed and he prospered everything that Joseph touched. And the Bible tells us in verse number 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. See that? He's a prosperous man. And you'll find again that verse number 3, and his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Look at verse number 5. And it came to pass in time to time that he made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in his field. May I say to you, you'll find that the Bible says he was goodly, he was well-favored, apparently he was good-looking too. He had it all. Everything he did. He had the Midas touch. It turned to gold. Everything Joseph did. He was a prosperous individual. And by the way, we know that Potiphar's wife lied about him, said that he tried to rape her. And yet, when he's sent to prison, you'll find the same thing while he's there. He prospered in prison. Everywhere you put Joseph, he prospered. Let me tell you something. We worry about so many things. We talk about this Sunday school class with our children. We want them to have good education, good work ethic. We want them to be a superstar at this, or we want them to achieve at this. We want them, you know, there's so many, and good character traits. Nothing. We want them to think outside the box. We want them to be inventive. We want them to have all these things. Let me tell you what. If you'll teach your children to love God and to follow God, these other things will follow suit. According to God's plan. And some of them think, at least they don't turn out to be the best athletes. So what? As long as they follow God, that's what's most important. But as far as being a success, prospering, and being an excellent individual, wherever their feet land, succeed, may I say to you, it all starts with following God. And that's what Joseph did. And God blessed him. Now let me just say this to you. As we look around, down the line here, not only was his life prosperous, his life was pure. His life was pure. Joseph's life was pure. Whatever came his way, Joseph saw it as God was able to deliver him from it. He survived whatever test come his direction. He survived the test of self-pity. Now think about it. He could have felt sorry for himself. You know what would happen if Brother Grant's family betrayed me like that? I've been feeling sorry for him. I've been letting everybody know. I've been calling Scott up to, you know what my dad did to me? You know what my brother done to me? You know what this done to me? I've been calling somebody to pray for me. Huh? You not find one time that Joseph, not one time did Joseph ever mumble a grumbling word in Scriptures. There's no place that records any self-pity in his life. He survived that test. And many people sit around feeling sorry. You don't know what cards I've been dealt in my life. Well, bless your heart. When we start really looking at the life of Joseph, he had some bad cards dealt his way, but he didn't let it hang him up. Huh? He passed the test of self-pity. He passed another test, and what was it? Of sexual enticement. You'll find that in Genesis 39, you look in verse number 6, the Bible tells that he was a goodly person and well-favored. Probably speaks of his looks. And it came to pass after these things, verse 7, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me, and he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, the master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither have I kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Was it a one-time event? The Bible says it came to pass she spake to Joseph day by day. She enticed him day by day. I say if he was a rich and powerful man, I doubt he had an ugly wife. You like my theology? Amen. Come on. He was tempted. He's like any red-blooded male. He was tempted. But he didn't succumb to that temptation. You see, he passed the test of sexual enticement, and he also passed the test of indulgence. Now, I see a lot of people, they can go through hardship and then keep it together and have the right attitude. I see a lot of people maybe in the task of just enticements of sin. They can go through that, but let them become a success in life, and oftentimes they fail. Joseph did not fail even when he succeeded. He didn't indulge himself. He didn't revenge against his brothers. Listen, I want you to understand that he had everything in his power in Egypt, whether it's Potiphar's house or when he controlled Egypt. He had no sticky fingers. Everything he had, he used it for the good of others. And so, you see, he passed the test of adversity, he passed the test of allurement, and he passed the test of advancement. Joseph had character. His life was a life of purity. So, now his life, yes, it's pivotal, it's providential. Stay with me. It was a prosperous life. It was a life of purity. But ultimately, it was a prophetic life. And I want you to just listen to this just a moment. You study his life, and there's several similarities about Joseph and the very Son of God. There's nothing reported evil about Joseph in the Scriptures. You know that? Not one thing. You not find one thing reported evil about Daniel in the Scriptures. Two godly men in Scripture, Joseph and Daniel. Their character was just impeccable. You'll find that Joseph took care of his sheep just as Jesus is the good shepherd and he takes care of his sheep. Joseph made sure everybody's fed just as the Son of God, being the good shepherd, makes sure everybody has spiritual nourishment. He was the beloved son of his father. Listen, Jesus was the only begotten son of God. He was well beloved of his father, and his father looked at him and said, "This is my beloved son." Just as Joseph was the beloved son of Israel, you'll find that not only that Jesus, he was despised by his brothers. Guess what? Joseph was despised by his brothers. His brothers didn't even believe in him. Guess what? Jesus' brothers didn't even believe in him until after his resurrection. You say, "Brother Grant, what are you saying?" I want you to know how prophetic his life was. You'll find that his own nation betrayed him, right? Israel betrayed Jesus just as Israel, the family, betrayed Joseph. Now, man, it points to the person of Jesus Christ all through here. And by the way, Joseph was the Savior of the nations by what he did and the action that he took in Egypt. Just as Jesus, the Son of God, is the Savior of the nations. To all that will come to Him by faith. You say, "What are you saying?" Well, it goes beyond that. And Stephen got it when he preached in the book of Acts chapter 7 and chapter 8. Because they were listening to him. Those of the synagogue of libertines as he preached. And he said, guess what? He said, this Jesus, He's like Moses. The first time you rejected Moses, the second time you received Moses when he come back to you. Amen? And he said, Joseph, you rejected the first time, but you received him the second time. Israel has a tendency to do that. And he said, guess what? Jesus Christ as a nation, you rejected the first time, but when he comes in power, he comes in glory, you're going to receive him that time. See, his life was very prophetic, very prophetic. And you say, "Brother Grant, what are you saying to me? I want to draw this application." You see, there was many things about his life. It was pivotal, providential, prosperous, pure, it's prophetic. And we think, man, he was a super-duper Christian. He was someone that we can't even touch. Listen to me. Your life should be no less, my life should be no less than what Joseph's life was. May not be as dramatic, but it should be no less. And you say, "What are you saying?" I want to give it to you real quick. Number one, your life is pivotal this morning. Just as Joseph's life was pivotal to understanding the link between Genesis and Exodus, your life is pivotal this morning. You see, Joseph, his life was, everybody else's life, whether you realize that time, was dependent upon the life of Joseph. You know, I think back in my own life, and a lot of people, I think of, and I'm not doing this toot my own horn. I'm just thankful that God called me in the ministry, thankful for that, but I've had the privilege of leading nephews, cousins, family members. Got to see my mom get rededicated to the Lord. I mean, I've seen so many people in my family saved. I've had the privilege to sit down with them with the Word of God and show them how to be saved. And not near as many as I'd like to see be saved, but you know what? I think I can say, you know what? If my life had not been what it was supposed to be, or close to what it's supposed to be, those things would never happen. But then I really think about it, those things would have never happened if I didn't have a grandpa that loved me enough to take me to church and instruct me in the things of God and pray for me. You know what? His life was pivotal. You know what made a change? It wasn't Grant that made a change. Maybe life of nephews and cousins and great-grandchildren and children along the way. You know what it was? It was a grandpa that loved the Lord. His life was pivotal for me being here today. I've never preached the first time. If it hadn't been for Grandpa, it made a difference. You understand this morning that your life is pivotal on somebody's life? That your life will make a difference? Probably not just one or two lives, but many lives. Your life touches so many people. Joseph's life is pivotal? Yeah, but everybody's life is pivotal at some point. Sometimes we don't think of it from that degree, but not only that, I want you to understand your life is providential as well. The Bible says, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You see, we may feel like Joseph sometimes, that life's unfair, life's unkind, life is just unforgiving. But you see, God wants to use those heartaches and those difficult times as stepping stones to bring us to a place that He can use us for His glory. God's still a God of providence, and your life, God still offers providential care in your life. Your life pivotal, and God's still yet on the throne just as He's on the throne of Joseph. Your life not providential, listen to me, your life is to be prosperous. You see, why was he prosperous? Was it because he was smarter than anybody else? No. It was because God blessed him. Now, I had somebody a while back I was talking to about Mount Hebron Church, and they said, we don't understand how you're all able to do what you do toward missions and so forth. And we was talking about different things. And I was bragging on the church. I wasn't doing it, but I guess, boast myself up, bragging on you all. And so I don't still understand that. I guess you all have more money than everybody else around. That's what I was told. I said, you know what? The Bible says this, the liberal soul shall be made fat. I said, if they have more than some other people, it's because they're willing to give it. Amen. You better learn that. You can't outgive God. If you want the blessing of God, you set on your what's in your wallet, and I promise you, God won't bless you. Amen. Your heart's right, what's in your wallet, come out easy, and God will bless it again, pressed down, shaken together, and run it over. Amen. Don't tell me that. Lack of faith, listen to me. God wants us, He wants to bless us. He wants every one of us. We may not be rich, but one thing we can say, when they mention your name, they said, man, that's an excellent individual. He's something different. She's something different. She's different than all the other students I have. He's different than all the way all the other kids behave in school. Or they say, man, you know what, we got a lot of employees here, but I'm telling you what, we can trust them with everything we have. You know what? That's what it was that made Joseph excellent. It was what made him prosperous because of who he was with his relationship with God. He prospered. You want to prosper in life? I'm going to tell you what, you better walk close to God. His life was prosperous. God wants you not to be... Listen to me, the problem is so many people, they're looking for big opportunities, but you'll find what Joseph did, he was faithful with the opportunities God gave him. And God blessed him. Let me move on with this. Number four, your life is to be pure. Joseph's life puts to rest the idea that you can't live a life of purity in an ungodly culture. He lived in a pagan culture, he was still yet godly. I didn't say he was perfect. I didn't say that Joseph, because the Bible doesn't say he's perfect. You don't record any sin that we know of. But the Bible doesn't try. He was just a man. Listen, I don't claim to be perfect. I do a lot of stupid stuff a lot. Amen? You don't believe me, hang around my wife. You just get around Isaac. He's kind of like the bush bean dog, you know, Duke. He tell you all the family secrets. Amen? And he's standing there grinning. He knows the truth. And anyway... listen, I ain't perfect. I never claim to be. But I promise you this, our life is to be different than the world's. And people say, you can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If Joseph can do it, you can do it too. See what God will do. See what God, people all tore up about this Miley Cyrus thing. And you say, brother, you watch it. Well, who couldn't watch it? It's on there every time I turn the news on for 2 days. It's on there. You say, what happened to that little girl? What happened to that sweet little girl? I tell you what happened. The culture is ungodly, amen. She succumbed to that stuff. That's pretty simple. And she has a sinful nature. And if she's not been saved by the grace of God, she's going to succumb to those two things. And you say, what can we do? Make sure your children know the Lord. And then, let me tell you this. If you're going to wallow around in the mud, you're going to get dirty. I get my church clothes on, I think I need to go weed eat the yard. Huh? I go put my overalls on when I do that. Bury it, spray Roundup. Amen. So, the pants stay clean. Listen, you can't whirl around in the mud and expect to be clean. You can't, listen, the old saying is, you lay down with the dogs, what, you get up with fleas. The last one is this, and I'm done this morning. So, Brother Green, preach long, but I believe it's important we understand it. Joseph's life is an example for us. His life was prophetic. Yes, he was betrayed by his brothers. Jesus betrayed by his brothers. He was the Savior of the world. Jesus was the Savior of the world. You see, when you looked at Joseph, his life pointed to the Son of God. When people look at your life, my life, it ought to point to the Son of God. Our life ought to be prophetic as well. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning. Thankful that it's real. I've not preached a story about a man that was fictitious, but a man that was real. God, help every father, help every mother, help every uncle and aunt, every cousin, every friend to understand this morning their life is pivotal in the lives of other people. Help us to understand, God, that you're still a God of providence, that you're still a God that's in control. God, that you want to bless us, you want to prosper us, but God, we have to put you first. This morning I pray you have your will and way in this invitation. You've spoken to someone's heart and life. Maybe it's not what it ought to be. Maybe it's been despoiled by the world. It's become saturated by sin. I pray this morning they say, God, I want my life to be pure. I want it to be the right example. But God, help us to realize, as Joseph pictured and pointed people to Jesus Christ, so should we. Never one time did I find Joseph running around telling people how awful they were. We find Joseph living a life that pointed to one who could be the Savior of the world, and help us to do the same. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.